It's difficult to influence culture, even at a small organization. My guest today, however, has successfully brought a spirit of teamwork and entrepreneurship to one of the largest banks in the world. This is YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Daum, and each week I bring you insights from the world's top executives of YPO, all made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, www.growthinstitute.com. YPO member Katie Lagarder believes teamwork has been a critical part of her success. After graduating from college at Ohio University, she began her career in marketing at a local United Way branch. That small office experience allowed her to engage in all aspects of the organization, inspiring her to earn her MBA at Tulane University. Katie has been with J.P. Morgan Chase ever since. Today, she is managing director of their private bank for Louisiana, which covers both Louisiana and Mississippi. She's also president of the Louisiana market, which requires her to coordinate across all bank services and work with the J.P. Morgan Chase Foundation as well. Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
So you've spent your whole career at Chase, is that correct?
Just about. I started with then Premier Bank, which became Bank One, and then J.P. Morgan.
What was your first job in banking?
I worked in a branch as the assistant manager. At that point, I was getting my MBA at the same time. And so I wanted to get my foot in the door in a bank and do something that I felt was sustainable while I was getting an MBA at the same time.
Did you already have your eyes high up the corporate ladder, or you just weren't quite sure how it would go?
When I became the head of the private bank here, I was on maternity leave with my second child, my son. I was a banker in the private bank, and my manager got a promotion, was moving with J.P. Morgan to another market. And I thought, you know what? I think I would be interested in doing that. Really, at that moment that I thought what it would entail, that it had a lot of elements that I just knew I would enjoy. And so I felt like this would be a whole lot of new experiences in a way to really feel like I just was growing. Wanted the kind of strategic elements of the role. I knew that I would like that, having the P&L responsibility, coming up with a strategy, figuring out how to implement it and execute it, building a team. Those were the things that I just knew were going to be a fit. And I felt like you can never choose the timing, and it turned out fine, a little chaotic at the beginning.
Kind of take the opportunities when they're there.
Yeah. Do it when it comes.
Did you approach it from an educational standpoint? Did you say, these are the places that I know I'm going to have to learn? And if you did, what did you do to prepare yourself for taking on that role?
Because I'd been a banker in this market and on this team for 8 years before, that put me in a great position because I had so much of the insights, and I knew the team, I knew the clients, I knew the business and kind of what we needed to do. Like we have in YPO, I also had in J.P. Morgan a support network, which was huge. So I leaned on my new peers as I moved into the role, and we were having a lot of peer interaction at that time.
In the position that you're in the layers of the big corporate structure, you're here, Jamie Dimon's there. What's the middle?
So the private bank is part of asset management. And so within asset management, we have Elaine Agather runs a bunch of the country. She's in Dallas. She heads things up. And then Kelly Coffey is the CEO of the private bank. Mary Ertis is the CEO of asset management and on the operating committee with Jamie.
That's a lot of women. Do you think that fosters a culture of helping women into the executive roles in this company?
I do. To have women in such a visible position and so successful and so influential over the business absolutely sends a really strong message. I know it has for me and for many of the women as I look to recruit women to join the business. And we're very focused on it too. I think we have a really wonderful program that I haven't experienced firsthand, but I'm so glad that we're doing it where we're focusing as a firm on women who may have left the workforce to raise a family. Prior to that, had a lot of really strong experience in their roles in education, et cetera, and want to re-enter. Special program on helping them do that and bringing them back.
So your daughter, Estelle, is 11. She's entering in a completely different world. 10 years from now, how do you advise her entering into the workforce?
Well, I think she's ready to do it now. I joke that I'm going to take a day off and send her because she's really watched a lot of what I've done. And fast forward in 10 years when she's ready to enter the workforce, you have to do what you love. You have to feel it. It can't be, I have to go do a job and then I can't wait till I'm done to go home and do what I really want to do. It has to just feel totally like it's just a part of you.
So you've got these two major roles. Do you have two direct report teams, or are they integrated into one?
So the president role, I don't have everybody direct reporting into me in Louisiana. It's really more about being at the helm of the businesses on the ground here, collaborating, communicating. We're going to have a bigger impact when we're well coordinated and working together, and then being spearheading on the community side with the philanthropic efforts. So no, I don't have two direct reporting groups.
Being in YPO and the position that you're in, you experience a lot of entrepreneurs. And here you are running a major division for about as opposite of the entrepreneurial world as possible, one of the largest corporations in the world. How many people in Chase JP Morgan now?
250,000, give or take.
Yeah, give or take. Where do you see the differences between the way you look at business and the way that the entrepreneurs that you deal with look at business?
Well, there clearly are differences. We're obviously in a large organization. We have a lot of regulatory elements that we're focused on and making sure that we're adhering to. And we have, being in the financial industry, a lot of risk management type of processes that are important and some layers related to that. A very small operation or an entrepreneur is not going to be faced with in the same way. That's where you really feel the differences. Those are the obvious ones. I do feel that we are on the ground here very empowered to just think about the area we're serving and how to best serve that and be very creative to do that. So we do that through some of the things we do with marketing and events for our clients and how we approach each client. And, you know, I have a wonderful marketing team that I engage with and think about these things. So there is a more of a creative process than if you weren't here every day than you would think. I think when we're collaborating with the nonprofit community, we've done a lot with the nonprofit community focused on small business growth and entrepreneurship. We get very creative with them. I mean, some of the grants that we've made are for a startup type of nonprofit that we believe really has the components to meet one of our philanthropic objectives. So I guess, you know, that's where we do kind of speak the same language and really get in there. I think innovation is so important. Just because you're big, you don't get a pass on being innovative and entrepreneurial. And if you're not doing that, you're not going to make it. Somebody's going to come up with a way to do it better. So it's really on us to have no excuses about some of the red tape that may come with our industry, our size, and overcome that. That is what motivates us. No matter how much the regulatory component of our daily lives and the tasks associated has increased since this banker and I started working together about 15 years ago, we're just more determined that we're never lowering our standard.
Katie, it's time for our rapid fire questions.
Okay.
What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
Something about travel. I don't know how, but I love hearing about where people have been and just interesting stories.
Name three of your personal core values.
Honesty. Just be honest, no matter what. I guess that was number two. I need to come up with number three. I would say humility.
Who's had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
There's a couple of them. You can't be a JP Morgan Chase without referencing our CEO, Jamie Dimon. He has a way of relating to everyone. He's very real and very present. And then I went to summer camp for a lot of years growing up. There were a couple of leaders there, and they had a way of making everyone feel special and important.
What's your favorite business book?
Above the Line by Urban Meyer.
What are you reading right now?
We just wrapped up the holidays, and with work and the three little kids, I'm reading market outlooks and things like that going into the year. So I need to get my hands on the next good book to read.
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
Being authentic. I think it's so important for your team to know and trust who you are.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Ego.
Name one daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
Taking time to be quiet, whether you meditate or just be alone and be quiet and reflect.
Name one trait that makes an employee valuable.
Thinking like a leader.
What's your strangest daily habit?
I get up at 4 a.m., do my routine, and very specific about that. It helps me start the day out well.
What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
Being spontaneous and just doing something nice. It could be anything. You grab one, say, let's go get a cup of coffee, or spontaneous, hey, I'm going to get you all lunch today. Just the spontaneous engagement, spontaneous actions that send the message of how important they are.
Well, thanks for engaging with me today, Katie. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. Join me next week when I'll interview YPO member Jessica Ma, who will account for why her bookkeeping company considers culture before the bottom line. I'm Kevin Daum, and you're listening to YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit ypo.org.